Richard Baxter, a great Puritan, said this, "Use sin as it will use you. Spare it not, for it will not spare you. It is your murderer and the murderer of the world. Use it, therefore, as a murderer should be used. Kill it before it kills you."
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, hello everyone. It's great to have you tuning in today for Pastor Bill's series from the New Testament Epistle of Romans. The message today is entitled, "These Are the Sons of God." Let's listen in.
Amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. We're in an in-depth study on Sunday mornings. We're going to cover just a few verses this morning, verses 12 through 17. And remember that chapter 6, 7, and 8, there is one continuous thought. There's no chapter divisions, all right? And it covers the great doctrine of sanctification, meaning the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer to produce Christ's likeness in us, where we're changed from glory to glory. And so Jesus was born like me, meaning in human flesh, of course, without sin. So Jesus was born like me that I might become like him. Amen? And it goes for you as well. And so this chapter, which begins with no condemnation, as I said last Sunday, ends with no separation, absolutely no defeat in between, we come to some glorious verses. Remember that in chapter 8, the Holy Spirit had not been mentioned in seven chapters, maybe just one time, I believe. But it's mentioned, he is, 21 times in this chapter. And that tells us how important it is about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Now listen carefully. We know that we have been given now the Spirit, or the law of the Spirit of life, which is a higher law than the law of sin that's in our members or that evil that is present with us. And we have been freed from the law of sin. Amen? It no longer has dominion over us. But this morning, I want to read one verse before we start in verse 12. And I want you to look at verse 14 with me, where it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of the Lord," these are what? These are sons of God. That's the title of this message. These are sons of God. And that's what we want to determine this morning. Beginning in verse 12, Paul writes to us and he says, "Therefore, brethren," meaning that all that we learned last Sunday from verse 1 all the way through 11, Paul is now getting ready to make application to our lives, if you will. So he says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh." Therefore, brethren, that's us. Thank God there is no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? No judgment. Thank God for that. Now that the law of the Spirit of life is working in us and has freed us from the law of sin and death, we are now debtors, okay? We're debtors to God our Father, Jesus our Savior, and the precious Holy Spirit who is present with us and in us. Amen? But we are not in any way debtors to our old flesh. You follow me? The old law of sin. I owe my flesh absolutely nothing because my flesh has always caused me to get in trouble. I don't know about you, but we have reckoned that old man dead. We no longer live according to the flesh. Amen? That's right. We've put that thing down. He is down. So the word debtor means literally to be obligated, okay? So you're under no obligation, number one, to your old sinful nature, the old, like I call him, the old Billy, you know? He doesn't have any control on me. Well, he does. He tries. He wants to run my life. You understand, in your life as well. But we now have the ability to where say, no, you're going to follow me. I am no longer going to follow you. Amen? And we do that by the Holy Spirit of God. The flesh, everything that I have done to get into trouble has never been caused by the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? It's always been caused by the flesh. Just look today in our society, in our nation, look what living in the flesh and satisfying the desires of the flesh, look what it's done to our country. I mean, just look at the election process and the words that are being spoken and the things that are happening. It is literally frightening. You see, the flesh is always trying to deceive me. It's always trying to deceive you. When I say flesh, I mean the old man that died, okay? You follow me, that old sinful nature. Now, he tries to deceive me, and he tries to tell me, just as he does to you, that I am going to offer you life. Man, do this and live. Do what your flesh desires, and you're going to have joy and peace and all the rest of those things. But see, he's trying to deceive us, because Jesus told us in John 6:33, he said this, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits absolutely nothing. Why? Well, look at the results of those who live after the flesh. Look at it there. For if you live according to the flesh, you're going to have the greatest time in your life. Is that what that says? No. It says that those who have an ongoing, continuous lifestyle, an habitual lifestyle of living for the evil desires in their flesh, here's what's going to happen. They are going to die, and that is not physical death, that word die there. That means eternal death, being separated from God forever and ever. So Paul is speaking to those that are not sons of God, that are not daughters of God, that are lost, that are still in Adam, and their only hope is to turn to Jesus Christ and be born from above so they can walk in a newness of life. But thank God we owe our flesh nothing. We're not indebted to it. Now, it says, but if by the Holy Spirit you put to death, that's present tense, something that we do, you put to death the deeds or those evil deeds prompted by our bodies, you will what? Live. Literally, that's eternal life. You will live forever and ever. So we have eternal life. We're born again. We've been empowered now by the Holy Spirit of God. We are not indebted or obligated to this old flesh that's dying, that Paul said there's nothing good that dwells in it, nothing at all. We have now been empowered by a new law, the law of the Spirit of life. And we say, you know what? That is where our obligation lies. You see, our problem is this. We have the Holy Spirit, but are we, through the Holy Spirit, putting the deeds of the body, the sins of the body, the evil desires of our old nature, are we really putting them to death? Are we executing them? See, that's what we have to do. And the thing is that this can only be accomplished by the Holy Spirit. You see, that's not automatic. The moment you become a Christian, that's not an automatic thing that happens to you. The process, yes, has begun. But loved one, listen to me. A decision is required from each of us. Now that we're born again, now that our eyes are open, now that we have this power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, it requires a decision on our part. Are we going to put to death the deeds of these old desires, or are we not? So a decision has to come. You see, I cannot do it without the Holy Spirit put to death sin. And the Holy Spirit will not do it without my participation. Does that make sense? Very, very important. So we're a debtor. We're obligated to the Holy Spirit. Remember what Paul, when he wrote Titus in chapter 2, verse 12, he said this, denying ungodly lust. In other words, those horrible, horrible things. He says, all the worldly lust, to live soberly, in other words, with self-control, righteously and godly in this present age. We are born from above, but we still live in this world. Amen? But we no longer live for this world. This world is going to burn, and everything that's in this world is going to burn. The Bible says that the world is passing away, and the lust thereof, he says, but he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever. You know, here we are, sons of God, daughters of God, and our obligation, you know, God says, listen, I know that you can't do it on your own. He says, so I'm going to give you someone, the Holy Spirit, of course, who's going to help you do these things. So we have the divine helper of the church, our divine helper, the standby, the comforter, the strengthener, living in our hearts. Amen? He's with us right this very moment. So we cannot fulfill our obligation, if you will, by our own power. Only the Holy Spirit of God can give a believer victory over sin. We can't do it within our own power. And here's the issue. The old man. Have you ever noticed how the old man lies to you? Oh, come on. Yeah. I mean, he lies to you. Why? He's evil. It says that evil is present with me. I'm dragging around the old man that died. I'm a new creation in Christ now. I'm walking in a newness of life, but I've got this filthy, vile, in Adam, old nature, in my unredeemed body. Only my spirit has been redeemed like yours. Amen? My body wasn't redeemed. That's why within us, in this flesh, whatever it is, whatever Adam did, it's in us. It runs through our members, and it wants us to obey. It wants us to do what it says, in other words. So he'll lie to you. Oh, you can do this much, just a little bit of this. You won't be in trouble. You can kill sin anytime you want to. You're strong enough. You're your own man. You're your own woman. You don't need anything else. Well, I tell you what, number one, the old man lies to you. And number two, the devil loves to lie to you. He'll never tell you the truth. And not only that, the flesh, the devil, and the world, you know what they want? They want you, the believer, to be obligated, indebted to them. God says, no, you are a new believer now. You must be obligated, in debt, to the Holy Spirit of God who leads you in all victory. Now, it's not within our power or any man's power to overcome. It's not. But it is within our power, now that we're born from above, to submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. To whatever he says for us to do, then we do it. The Holy Spirit is not some tool. It's not a weapon. It's not a language. He is not an essence or a force or any of those things. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. Amen? Yes. Now listen, if you want to live, you have to kill sin before it kills you. The wages of sin is, didn't say it, the wages of sin is not life, is it? No, the wages of sin, it pays, like we've learned. Sin has a payday. The wages that sin pays is eternal death. Now, here's the thing. We walk now in the power of another. Remember what Zechariah said in Zechariah 4:6? It's not by might. It's not by my human ability. It's not by power, meaning armies or political powers or Democrats and Republicans or Hillary and Donald. Do you understand? God says, no, no, it's not by them. It is by, he says, my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. See, we have to kill sin, the deeds of the body. We do so by the Holy Spirit of God. Colossians 3:4 says this, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you'll also appear with him in glory. Here it comes. Therefore, since we are in Christ, since we're going to appear with him, since we're born again, therefore, put to death. Literally deprive of power, deaden, execute, if you will. In other words, treat as dead because you have a new life in you. Put to death your members, that old evil nature, that old Adam, if you will, which are in your members upon this earth. Richard Baxter, a great Puritan back in the 1600s, said this. He says, use sin as it will use you. Spare it not, for it will not spare you. It is your murderer. And the murderer of the world. Use it, therefore, as a murderer should be used. Kill it before it kills you. That's a true word, isn't it? You know, sin promises so much, and sin has pleasure. The Bible teaches that, but it's only for a season, and then all of a sudden the destruction comes into your life. The sin does have that pleasure. But gosh, it's so temporary. And then what it does, it captures you. It takes you captive. It wants to destroy your entire life. God says, no, you have the Holy Spirit of God now. And you know what? Through him, through his power and his love for you, you deny your flesh. Tell your flesh no. And the Holy Spirit, through him, will put to death the deeds of the body. Another way to kill sin is by getting into God's word and really putting it into your heart. Amen? Psalm 119, verse 11 tells us, it says, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, verse 14 is our main text. It says here, and it's so important and so vital we get that this morning. It says, for as many as are baptized, does it say that? Okay, good. As many as that attend church, okay. As many as are led, meaning willingly led. I'm indebted. I have an obligation. Willingly led, not by the flesh, not by prophets, and not by pastors, but are led not by friends, but by the Spirit of God. These are, present tense, these are the sons of God. And listen, those who are not led, habitually led by the Holy Spirit of God, They are not sons of God. They are not daughters of God. Are you following me? That's so important. Listen, to be led by the Spirit. What does it mean? Just partially. Let me just give you a few things. To be led by the Spirit means this. If you're truly born again, if you're truly walking in a newness of life, if you truly want to please God, all right? It means this. To be led by the Spirit literally means that the Holy Spirit, you are allowing the Holy Spirit of God to wean you from this world. Do you understand? The world can't help you. Why would we trust the world? Why would we trust finances that the world gives us? Listen, God can give you anything that quick. Amen? Yeah, I mean, listen, God can do that. You know, I don't want to get off on this, but I've just felt the Lord quicken my heart. You remember I told you my first pastor, Becky and I were, we were poor, we were broke, we had nothing. And those people came to my house that day with a birthday cake. You remember that? Three of you. Okay, I'll tell it again. And so here we are, had no food in the house. I mean, none. I didn't have a dollar in my pocket. We we had no groceries. And so I'm really, to be honest with you, I'm blaming God. I'm going, and I was just a baby pastor then, okay? What's the truth? Blaming the Lord. Lord, what did you do? What are you trying to kill me, you know, and all this stuff. So these people that were in the church, they came and knocked on the door and they had a cake and it wasn't my birthday. They gave me this cake and they said, the blessings are in the obedience or something like that, you know. Becky would know it exactly. She never forgets a thing. But you know me. So here I is. I said, thank you very much. I take this cake. I set it down on the kitchen table and I go, this is just great. I look at my wife right now. I said, we are starving. We have no money and we're going to eat sweets. I mean, who wants a piece of cake? I want a steak. Do you understand me? No, am I right or wrong? I mean, when you're really hungry, you look at an Oreo cookie. Do you want an Oreo cookie? Please tell me no. Man, give me a steak. Or, you know, you walk out of a Sam's or a Walmart or whatever it is, and they got that little hot dog wagon out there. Can you smell it? I don't want an Oreo cookie. Give me that hot dog, man. Put all that stuff on it. Put the chili on it. So here I am, you know, and of course, they were led by the Spirit of God to bring me a cake. And so I'm sitting there and I'm looking. I said, honey, this is so nice, but what are we going to do? And I look and there's all these candles on there. And I look at those candles and I realize that they're not candles, they're straws. And I said, who in the world would make a cake and put straws up there? You know, what kind of people are these? Yeah. So I pull that stinking straw out of there, you know, and I look and there's a $20 bill in it. I pick that up, another 20. You understand? Man, we went to the store and we bought steak that night and we had dessert later, eh? You know, but no, what I'm saying is that, see, they were led by the Spirit. The world wasn't their source. The world's not your source. He can bring a cake to your house or whatever. Whatever, do you understand me? See, God is supernatural. The Holy Spirit is supernatural. He's here with us right now. To be a son of God, to be led by the Spirit means not only that you're being weaned from the world, it literally means also that He is leading you. You are allowing Him to lead you away from your old ways into all the new ways. That's called transformation. That's called sanctification. It also means to be led by the Spirit of God. It means that you are now being led into all truth. That's what Jesus said in John 16:11. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He'll lead you into all truth. Listen, we need the truth because only the truth can set us free. We don't need the world's truth. We need the truth of God, but we need it also living in our hearts. To be led by the Spirit means that He's directing our paths. Proverbs 3:5-6, I believe. Trust in the Lord with all, not some. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways. Holy Spirit, I need help. Lead me. He says, and He shall direct your paths. See, that's what God wants to do. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He's always leading us to victory. He really is. Always, if we'll be led by Him. You see, the flesh doesn't want to be led by the Spirit of God. The flesh, the mind, I'm telling you, oh gosh, that's why we have to renew our mind to the things of God. See, the Holy Spirit is always leading you someplace if you are allowing Him or if you're willingly led. What did David cry out in Psalm 23? He said, He leadeth me beside what? Still waters. He's always leading us, not into trouble. It doesn't mean that you won't get into trouble if you serve God. But you know, the flesh is always leading you to get into trouble, meaning to break fellowship with God. That's what the flesh does. But the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. Listen, if you're truly being led by the Spirit of God, then the Holy Spirit, as you're learning through grace, He is now the controlling life in everything that you do. In other words, He is the influence in our life. We are a debtor to the Holy Spirit. I need Him. I need to listen to Him. I need to hear His voice. I need His direction in all that I do. I'm in debt for Him because He, remember what it says in Ephesians 4:30, He has sealed us until the very day of redemption. How we need to trust Him with all of our hearts. Look at it again in verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Now, very important, ladies, listen carefully. You've probably been asking yourself, well, how about me? I'm a woman. It doesn't say anything about a woman there. This is the first use in Romans of this term, which is generic. It includes both sexes, if you will. So it's sons of God and daughters of God. Are y'all with me? Okay, very important. So we're obligated. You know why we're really obligated? We're obligated because of the dignity of our position. You see, we really are sons and daughters of the living God. I mean, listen, somebody said, well, you know, who's your dad? Well, Bill Gates. Okay, well, so what? Who's your dad? Warren Buffett. Okay, well, that's great. So what? Who's your dad? My Father is in heaven. You see the difference there. Listen, we are sons. We are daughters. The dignity. The Bible says in 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love. That word, that term, what manner of love in the Greek is one big word, and it means a love that is not found on this planet, a love that is foreign to this planet, a love that is so incredible can only come from heaven. Behold what manner of love the Father has poured or lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God. We belong to the Lord. We are the Lord's children. You know, we are sons and daughters of God. And I say this right now with tenderness, but loved one, what in the world has hardened this incredible truth to the 21st century church? Listen, we should have tambourines underneath our seat, you know, and we should be banging them. Do you understand? And rejoicing about that. But it's like, okay, I'm son of God, you know, daughter of God, you know, King of kings, Lord of lords. Yeah. You guys have no humor, do you? No. Listen, the dignity of our position demands that we walk worthy of our calling, that the things that we do in our life, that we please God. The lifestyle of a true believer is one that is truly being led by the Spirit. Now look at verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. In other words, we're no longer slaves to fear. We're born from above. We have nothing to fear except God Himself. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, sound mind. But you have received what? The spirit of adoption, or the spirit of sonship, the spirit of daughtership, if you will, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now listen. Paul is writing to the saints at Rome. They understood exactly when he used the spirit of adoption, they understood exactly what he was talking about. Because to be adopted into a Roman family during Paul's time to those in Rome was a very, very serious thing. And so for, say, a son to be adopted into a Roman family, listen, the moment that that occurred judicially, they were permanently then adopted, permanently placed into that Roman family forever and ever and ever and ever. It could never be broken. It was a permanent thing. And every obligation, whatever it might be, any of the obligations, any of the problems before that person was adopted, they are all erased as if they had never, ever existed. Does that sound familiar to you? That we have now been adopted. Amen.
Once again, we're out of time, but please tune in tomorrow when Pastor Bill will complete this message. Thanks, everyone, for listening today. Have a great day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.